My guest is land use consultant Jarrett Gorin, owner of Vanguard Planning, and he's been in the planning and development business for about 34 years, started Vanguard Planning around 2009. So, Jarrett, ADUs, everyone's, you know, the state, even the cities, they're pushing ADUs, but there's a new law, SB-2011. And by the way, you mentioned ministerial. Getting an ADU, where does that land on a scale of 1 to 10, with maybe 1 being ministerial and 10 being you're out of luck?
I would say for certain types of ADUs, it's maybe it should be a 1, but in the city of Santa Barbara and county and stuff, it tends to be more of like a 3 or a 4. And then if you want to do larger ADUs and things, some of those can get pretty discretionary, because even some of them, even in the city, can require review at single family design board. I'd say a lot of them will fall in the 3 or 4 area. And then others, if you just want to do something that's, you know, a little bit outside of coloring outside the lines, they do have a way for you to do that, but then they have some discretion on it.
Okay. But you're, you know, considering it's always a joke with Santa Barbara, you know, planning and development to get something approved, you think they're doing a reasonable job to make it easy, streamlined, so to speak, or?
I think that they, you know, based on the types of plan check corrections we get, I feel like they sort of do what they can to slow things down. They deem every application incomplete by default, no matter what you turn in. And they'll ask you for things like to just reformat stuff. And that's not a legal basis to deem an application incomplete, but it stops the clock on the application. They have like 60 days under state law to approve or deny applications. But if they deem them all incomplete, then they stop the clock on it.
And this might be a really unfair question. How long does it take, do you think? Is there any average that you see in terms of number of months to get something approved?
You know, from the time you submit to the city, we're seeing about 6 to 8 months, depending on, you know, whatever kind of strange things happens to be on a property or if it's like completely cut and dry.
And would that also apply if someone has an existing converted granny unit that's permitted? I assume it'd be less time for that, or maybe not.
Not really a whole lot less. If you've got something existing, you still have to show how it meets current codes and things like that. So I generally tell my clients 6 to 8 months is what it's going to take.
I had someone I know, they put a house up for sale, and they had a granny unit above a detached garage, and it'd been there for 40 years. And the agent told me that they got it done, you know, it was relatively painless. And he told me the stairs going up to this ADU, he knew they weren't up to code. They weren't like, and this was in the county, not the city. And I don't know how long it took, but it probably is helpful if it's above a garage versus attached to the existing home, because when it's attached to the existing home, you got to worry about fire and sound and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So there's a new law, SB-1211, affecting ADUs. What's that about, and is it good or bad?
It's good. Generally, these new ADU laws are good. What happens is ever since ADUs as we know them came into existence in 2017, you know, all of these local agencies try to find ways that they can skirt the law and evade compliance with it. And so the legislature comes along every year or two and updates the law to plug all the little ways that they were, you know, the little loopholes they were finding. So this is just, you know, and just to improve things and also give some more flexibility. So SB 1211 just made a few changes, but some of them are pretty significant. On the insignificant side, they added a definition of livable space as, you know, places that are designed for humans to inhabit. There were some agencies that would try to say that garages and utility closets and stuff counted towards the square footage. And so therefore they could make everything have to be smaller or deny it based on like you're over the square footage. So it's good to have that definition. They eliminated the requirement to have to replace uncovered parking spaces that are removed when you do an ADU. So before you've been able to, like, if you change your garage into an ADU, you didn't have to replace those parking spaces. But like, if you built an ADU in a place that there was uncovered parking spaces, like in a motor court or something, and they were required spaces, they would require you to replace those. So that's gone now. You can eliminate basically any parking space to do an ADU. If you have a lot that's got existing multifamily development on it, you can build up to 8 detached ADUs now. It used to just be 2, and now it's 8, and that's pretty significant.
Wait. Start that again. If you have what? It goes from 2 to 8? What is that?
Yeah, if you have an existing multifamily dwelling on a property, you can now build up to 8 detached ADUs. So you can't build more than the amount of units you have. So if you have 4 units, you can only do up to 4 ADUs. But if you have 12 units, you can do up to 8 additional detached ADUs on the site. Now, they can only be 800 square feet max each and 16 feet tall, although there are some places where you can do them 18 feet tall. But that's pretty significant in terms of the additional ADUs you can create on these existing multifamily properties.
And assuming you have a multifamily property of, 6 or 8, you probably have a parking area. And you're saying now, if you can build into that, you don't have to replace that parking.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Well, for multifamily, if you got an apartment building and you want to add more units, it's in an area where there are a bunch of apartments. It seems like it's not going to really, I'm sure there's going to be somebody living right next door, but hopefully it's in an area of apartments and it's not going to impact people like, SB 9 allowing single family residences to build more than one unit. I don't know. I mean, it's good to add units, I guess, but then the no parking, that's kind of tough. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I guess another one that they added is that a local agency like the city of Santa Barbara is not allowed to impose even objective design standards that aren't specifically authorized under the state law. So, for example, this creek setback that we were just talking about, that's discretionary. But even if it was objective, state law doesn't say you're allowed to have creek buffer setbacks, which preclude ADUs. So that's going to be kind of a sticky one to see how they try to say that they're in compliance with that. I mean, when they're black and white out of compliance with it.
Yeah, it's really weird. I know we're circling back to what we talked about in the first segment together. My guest, land use consultant Jarrett Gorin with Vanguard Planning. And that ordinance, I don't know anything about the process and what it takes for the city to pass an ordinance. But from what you're saying, I would, if I was betting, like I should have bet on the Super Bowl, if I was betting, I would say that ordinance, the Santa Barbara Creek buffer area expansion, won't pass. Am I just being hopeful and optimistic? What do you think?
I think you're being a little hopeful and optimistic. The sustainability committee didn't see a single thing they didn't like about this, or at least that was my impression. They did ask to make sure that it was consistent with state law as far as ADUs go. Of course, the staff said, or they confirmed, that they hadn't talked to housing and community development in Sacramento at all about what they're proposing here. So they asked staff to talk to Sacramento. But no, I think we're going to get some form of it. We're going to get something. And unless a lot of people participate and really make themselves heard, it's going to be pretty bad what we end up with.
Okay. If you go online, you want to find the Creeks Division of the city, Jarrett, please remember to email me the link and I'll put it up on the podcast. We're kind of running out of time, but you were talking about SB 1211, a lot of good things for ADUs, and if people like ADUs and want to build them. You mentioned the residential unit going from residential units can go from 2 units to up to 8 if they have an existing 8 units, the 800 square feet. Anything else you want to throw in there?
Not really. I mean, ADUs are great, and people use them for all different reasons. And
What about this pre-approved plans for ADUs? Is that tied into this?
The state required a couple years ago that all these local jurisdictions provide pre-approved ADU plans, and the city tried to get designers to provide plans to them. they charged us, or they proposed to charge us, thousands of dollars for the privilege of submitting those plans. So we declined. I don't think they got too many of them. My understanding is they only have like four or five different plans. And the problem with pre-approved plans is that, you know, the public thinks, oh, I just get this plan and I can build it. But they don't understand that they still have to have structural engineering done. You know, the plans aren't going to fit on their lot necessarily. There's just a whole lot of variables that ends up, you have to change those plans. And they're not like this silver bullet, easy way to get a permit that I think the state was hoping for. I think that could work in San Bernardino or, Fresno, but it's not going to work in the city of Santa Barbara.
A swing and a miss on pre-approved plans. My guest has been Jarrett Gorin, Vanguard Planning. You can contact him at Jarrett.Gorin. That's Jarrett with two R's and two T's. Jarrett.Gorin at VanguardPlanning.com. Hey, come back sooner rather than later, Jarrett. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Okay. We'll see you. Stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.